Well, Ellen and I met at the New Year's Eve party of Unique in 2003, going over into 2004, and we were each told we'd like the other by the people inviting us, and we met and we did get on, but both Ellen and I were in other relationships, but we obviously clicked because Ellen emailed me and started asking me questions about trans, because she'd not long discovered she was transgender. And for about a year we corresponded by email, and then one day I wrote to her. We were talking about sexual attraction, so I wrote to her and said, what's your ideal woman? And she made a little description, and at the end she said, oh dear, that looks a bit like you. I hope you don't think I was making a play for you. And I wrote back and said, that's very flattering, and if circumstances were other, I wouldn't mind if you made a play for me. And about 3-4 months later, both our relationships had broken up, and we were sort of thrown together on an event I'd organised in Manchester for the trans Christian group, and Ellen was one of the few people who came along. We spent the day together, and it was clear there was something a bit more than just a friendship. Except for older people, it takes a bit longer, because we want to be sure you're choosing the right person. And so in early January of 2005, we did get together, and we've been together ever since. So we've been together getting on 13 years now. We bought this house because we wanted somewhere for people who were suddenly made homeless in the trans community, for couples to come and have somewhere quiet to talk about gender identity challenges, and also to look after people after surgery, because too many of the people from the trans community who have surgery have no family who they can go to be looked after afterwards. And after major surgery, you really shouldn't be at home on your own. So we fairly regularly have people come and stay. But we also, from here, we run the Unique information line. And so lots of things get picked up from that. And that's where first we heard from Jasmine, isn't it, dear?
Indeed. So, all the way from prison.
And that was intriguing. I got a call and this voice came on and said, hello, I'm Jasmine and I'm transitioning in prison. Can you help? And I thought, well, my goodness me, that's different. And of course we said yes. We were very happy to help. And Jazz then spent most of her money every week on phone cards to ring us. And Ellen organised to send her parcels of makeup and occasionally clothes and things.
Yeah, it's really nice. And it's like, even now, since being released from prison, after serving 7 years, 4 months in custody, we now go back into the prisons and doing diversity training and trans awareness training to help other inmates out. So it's really good. So I'm just the daughter and I've got two mums and I don't see it any other way. Obviously my birth parents I've had nothing to do with for many, many years. When I was born as Sarah Jane. I was born, the old term used to be hermaphrodite. Obviously we now use the word intersex. So I was born with both sets of genitalia. Up until the age of 7, I was raised as a girl. From the age of 7 onwards, my father decided to chop my hair off, call me a boy called Darren, and then started giving me testosterone in my adolescence. Through the testosterone, it got me into a lot of trouble. I ended up committing crime, and I got in trouble with the law. And then eventually I received this major custodial sentence of 56 years imprisonment, run concurrent to 11 years, which I served 7 years, 4 months. And it was only at that point where I had a chance for the testosterone to come out of my system. And then back in early 2009, eventually I got in contact with my mum. And I actually found out in the paper where the son had decided to actually out my parents in this horrible manner, you know, calling them, you know, trannies and everything, and beer drinking, you know, pool players. And it's nothing like them, you know, they're nothing like that. They don't even do that. Yeah. But it's the way the son was. And there was this website on there. And on this website, it turned around and it said, you know, how to contact them. And an officer I got on with in prison actually went and got the phone number for me. And that's exactly what I did. I gave him a, you know, a phone call, rang up, and I was in contact for like many years before being released from prison. And that's exactly what happened. You know, just stayed in contact, came on home leaves, and, you know, we just blended in as a family. And it's just the way it's ever been since, you know. I don't know who adopted her. I think my mum adopted me, really. She says I adopted her, but then she said, you know, it's the opposite way, which is really good.
Yeah. Now, I think the big point is, because Jasmine was in prison for a longer sentence and wasn't able to get her testosterone, her body re-feminized itself. And you got to a point, didn't you, where somebody asked why there was a woman in the male swimming pool.
You know, and it's one of those ones that goes, who's that girl? And this prison officer turns around and goes, what girl? There's no girls, it's all males. Like, and, you know, they and looked around and they was going, no, over there. And of course, it was at that point where I actually got called in then into the governor's office, and they thought I was actually taking oestrogen. They thought I was, you know, smuggling drugs in and stuff. But no, I wasn't. So, yeah, and then I had to explain the whole situation to them. And it was at that point where they started getting me, like, proper help and treatment in London. And, you know, the ball started rolling. And then eventually in 2012... I had the oversized clitoris removed and just reduced in size. So obviously that was the only thing that really needed to change with myself. And I had a breast augmentation as well. So I went for a bigger size than what I really needed. I went from a C cup to what I am now, even though it caused many arguments between me and my mum. And she was going, but you don't need a boob job. And I said, Douglas, well, you've had one. She goes, well, I needed one for different reasons. So yeah, we bickered over it, and we, you know, debated for many months. And eventually, you know, when my mum's back was turned, I said to Andrew Yellen, I goes, a bigger cup. And he said, I'll see what I can do for you. And then when I woke up the next morning, and I came home, and mum was like, those are a bit too big, Jazz, you look like a Barbie doll. It's just what I wanted, really. Even though she wasn't impressed at all. But whilst I was in custody, I did get a lot of grief by, you know, some of the inmates was a bit like, you know, not very kind towards me. But then at the same time, officers was exactly the same. But then on the flip side, I was actually kept in a male prison on a sex offender's wing, which is quite bad. I got sexually assaulted and abused. At one stage, I had to call the CID and the police, and I was sat there, and they, you know, I was just speaking to these police officers normally, and I said, so are you going to be writing all this down? And they goes, well, we're waiting for Jasmine to come. She's a trans lady here. And I said, I am Jasmine. And they was like, oh. They goes, what are you doing here? You know, we lock up the most horrific sex offenders, you know, rapists and everything. They goes, and you're on the same landing as them. You know, this is wrong. And, you know, balls started to get rolling, and, you know, things was being heard. And I was pretty much like moved from one prison to another prison all the time. And they didn't really keep me in one prison too long. Even on my parole, when I was having my parole here, and I was sat there in front of the judge, and I think his words were something around the lines of, where's this fucking tranny? And everyone just like was embarrassed, and they all went bright red. And then all of a sudden probation goes, Jasmine sat in front of you. And this judge was like, oh. So yeah.
Yes.
It was awful, you know.
Well, Jasmine looked so feminine that they had to put pictures up in the prison identifying her as a prisoner, because they thought most people would think she was either a member of staff or a visitor and should be let out.
Yeah, you know, it was crazy, really. The women's team came to see me, which was who put the PSI together for trans people.
Prison service instruction.
That's the one, yeah. I know short terms from Surrey. And they actually turned around to me and said that I couldn't go to the female estate because I hadn't transitioned.
Far enough,
yeah. I went further enough in my transition. And I looked at them and I said, well, I don't want to be a boy. So it's one of those, yeah, you know. And I was like, well, how much further do I need to go? I was born with a vagina between my legs. You know, I was just born with both sets of genitalia. I got my own breasts and everything else. So what do I need to do to go to the female estate? And the way I looked at it, if I didn't stand the chance of being moved to the female estate, what, you know, chance did a normal trans person, you know, stand from going from male to female? No, but the thing is, it's like what you've got to look at logically is what defines male and female. So at the end of the day, someone says, well, you're trans, you used to be a boy. Okay, fine. But the thing is, what is a male and what is female? It's nothing more than just your genitalia. So obviously, if you've got a vagina between your legs and a pair of boobs, you're a woman. If you've got a penis, then you're a boy.
It's not that simple.
It is. In my terms, it is.
No.
In mum's terms, it's not.
It isn't. Gender identity and physical sex are two different things.
No, gender. You see, when people turn around to me and say, are you a boy dressed as a woman? Then if you've got a vagina between your legs, which I have, and a pair of boobs, then that makes me a woman.
Yeah, but being a woman isn't just about physicality there.
It's what's in the brain.
Yes, exactly. Identity is in your head. Sex is between your legs.
It's pretty good then, isn't it?
And how you present yourself is your gender identity presentation.
So how do I present?
As female, obviously. I mean, most people would never ever think you were in any way other than a woman.
No, when I was taking testosterone, I was like 17 half stone, you know, muscle built guy. And, you know, shaved
yes,
head and everything.
You did look different.
Yeah, very much so.
But as soon as the tea was taken away, you started to re-feminise.
Definitely.
You know, which is your basic gender identity.
And sometimes it's like people say, do I regret the prison sentence? And I don't, because if I hadn't gone to custody, I wouldn't be as happy as I am now. I'm saddened that I've got victims, you know, from my crime. However, it's like they say, there's always a reason behind everything. It's like now,
yes.
I have a loving family. You know, I've got so many loving friends as well around me. And I'm not living a lie. I'm not taking testosterone to be something that I'm not.
No.
So overall, sometimes it's like something bad happens for something good to happen as well. Family mean the world to me. And it's like I'm very protective over my mum's, you know, it doesn't matter anybody, you know, say anything, I go pretty mad because obviously we are a family of difference, you know, compared to anyone else. However, in my eyes, you know, they're just my mum's, you know, and I'm just their daughter. You know, people in the world get adopted all over the world. Everyone's, you know, adopting children. So why can't, you know, two trans ladies adopt an intersex, you know, daughter? You know, there's no difference. No. In that context, by the way people look. And, you know, our life is just perfect. You know, we go out together, we go for nice meals together, you know, any meetings we go together. You know, it doesn't matter, we do things as a family all the time, as much as, you know, work commitments will allow us to. Even when it concerns just talk, and if there's anything on my mind, you know, I sit and I talk to my mum about all my problems. And we're very much an open family where even girlfriends, you know, if I've got a girlfriend, you know, mum will turn to girls, someone new in your life. And, you know, I'm very open with her about everything. So anybody else that I introduce, in, you know, into the family, they're a bit shocked how open we are. But we are very open about everything, even down to illnesses or, you know, even down to a will. You know, I even asked my mum the other day, you know, when she dies, what does she want to be dressed as? Does she want to have a short mini skirt or trousers?
That's the answer.
She said, I won't know. She goes, because I won't be here. She goes, it's up to you what you want to dress me in. So I think I'll put in a I'll put in a suspenders and stockings and a mini skirt. And it's actually quite funny when like Owen and Quentin's here, because, you know, I go, oh, Mum, can you come here a second, please? And then Owen will turn around and go, oh, Dad. So, yeah, a bit of an unusual family, but hey.